fine. So Baruch Hashem, I just want to announce, first of all, unfortunately our friend Avram Krieger is sitting shiddur for his mother until Sunday, but anybody wants to address, it's in Rehov Chaim Torah 19 in Pesach Zed.
Chaim Torah 19
in Pesach Zed. I don't know. You know Avram Krieger? I don't even know. He goes to Chabrus, he sits over here usually.
Avram Krieger.
Avram Krieger, he sits over here usually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
his mother passed away. So he's sitting shiva. Anyone interested? He's all shiva. Sitting in this cat's head. Yeah, his phone number. Did you say his phone number?
What?
His phone number?
Yeah.
Put it up. It's kind of worth it because people can't go. The mitzvah also, the call also, wherever they can't go, it's hard to go. It's a mitzvah. The Pesach can say it's a mitzvah. Bikur Chayav is a mitzvah. People call also, you get the mitzvah. Whoever can't go, maybe Chana, we need to put a whole situation up.
How long is the
Shiva Shabbat? Until
Sunday.
Yeah. I think he said till Sunday morning or something.
Okay.
But still, you can call today, tomorrow. The Pesach can say you can get the mitzvah like Bikur Chayav and Nikon Avail, even on the phone. If you call, make sure that you're good. The best is to go, but if you can't go, you still get the mitzvah. It's a very big mitzvah. That helps our students. So, I'm going to put his number up also to the link of Nisha Valen.
And what page are you on?
I'm on page, so we're holding up day 20. We're on the same time. So we're going to say now, it could be that after the destruction of the Mitzvah, Hashem gave us a gift which would enable us to survive this long and bitter exile. He allowed the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, to manifest itself to some degree in the shul and in the Beis Medrash. To this day, the Beis Knesset and the Beis Medrash remain places where a Jew could connect with his Creator in a very profound way. Against this backdrop, says the Chavos Chaim, one could recognize the full gravity of speaking Lashon Hara in the shul. Right? Because Shekhinah is left, it stays in the shul, that's where it stays. It used to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Now Hashem says, where's Hashem? Where the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? He comes to Arbit, he comes to the shul and the Beis HaMikdash. That's where he comes. Thank you. That's where he comes. So he says, the word saying, the Pasuk of the Mustashi Tirao, in Vayikra 19:30, and my holy place is Shafir. We learn that a Jew must treat the shul with dignity and only tread in it for holy pursuits. This commandment prohibits all forms of mundane conversation in shul. And much more so, this prohibition applies to Lashon Hara or Rechilus, which indicate a complete lack of fear of Hashem, whose presence is especially manifest in such holy places. Rav Chaim states that the hidden message which a person communicates when he speaks Lashon Hara in shul, God forbid, is that he does not really believe that Hashem's holy glory resides there. Only with such an attitude can a person feel free to disobey Hashem's rules in his own house. The Zohar says, the sin of ignoring Hashem in his own house has grave spiritual repercussions in the upper worlds. Well, Chavos Chaim writes, since we are discussing the sin of speaking Lashon Hara and shul, I must tell you a great misfortune which this causes. A person wants to tell his neighbor in shul a story about something that happened to him. He finds the most convenient time for this, immediately before the reading of the Torah. But when the congregation is ready to begin reading the Torah portion, the storyteller is still not finished. What do you do?
Keep on silent.
What I've had to do is literally walk out after I've asked them to be quiet several times.
Now, Zahara whispers in the person's ear, this is a great story, you've got to finish the story. So the storyteller, his eager listener, continue the conversation throughout the reading of the Torah. In doing so, they not only transgress the long list of prohibition, but they also commit the overriding sin of creating the public Chilul Hashem, as they flagrantly ignore Hashem's presence in his house at the same time cause disgrace to the Torah. As time tallies up what this important story is going to bring these people on the heavenly scales of judgment. They have spoken of this Lashon Hara, which almost always includes many prohibitions. They have violated the pasuk of the Lord, Halu et Shem Kodshi, shall not defame my holy name. Instead, which was compacted by the found that it was committed in the presence of 10 or more Jews. They have disregarded the Torah reading, and it's written, Ba'ozveh Hashem Yechlu, and those who forsake Hashem will perish. They have engaged in the Varim Betel, meaningless conversation in Shul. Woe to the speaker and the listener, writes the Chavetz Chaim. He quotes the Vilna Gaon, who states that it's impossible to comprehend the heavenly punishment which such conversation can bring upon the participants. Chavetz Chaim has another thought regarding those who speak during the reading of the Torah. The Torah reading concludes with Kaddish, and it's highly unlikely they will stop their conversation to answer this all-important prayer. This is an incalculable loss. Our sages of Blessed Memory have taught us the awesome power of answering a main Yeshmei Rav. By answering the proper conversation and intent, one can cause severe heavenly decrees to be broken. Several times each day when Kaddish is recited, Hashem gives us the priceless opportunity to earn tremendous merit within just a few seconds of effort. Imagine if someone offered you a check of $1 million, the only requirement that you exert the minuscule effort of lifting the check off the table and putting it in your pocket. The reward for answering a many Yeshmei Rav is much more than that. If the storytellers are oblivious to this, essentially leaving millions of dollars sitting on the table untouched. Well, he's saying that if I saw the people in Sharon Shul to be blaspheming Hashem's name, it's not saying blaspheming Hashem's name. And we're violating two commandments. First of all, that it said you should fear my holy places. And secondly, because it said you shall not defame my holy name. That's the help us.
What can you do about it? I mean, I've had to literally walk out of shul every single week until I simply go to another minion. It's that bad.
You're not done yet.
Find another place to
go. I do. It's early minion. Oh.
Same shul?
Same shul.
7 o'clock instead of 8:30. Okay, where are we holding? On
now holding
Machlis.
Machlis of Aleph.
It's 9A.
It's 8A, and we're starting a new Gemara.
Halfway down?
Almost all the way down. 12 lines from the bottom. That's good.
Which one lines?
Fine. So let's see what we said in the Mishnah. So we said in the Mishnah the following. We said in the Mishnah, what was the last halakha we said in our Mishnah? Hanan, you'll hear it now and you'll tell it over the tzvi. What did we say in the Mishnah? We said in the Mishnah that one kill someone accidentally and then to go to Golos. But let's say it was while they're performing a mitzvah, there's no Golos. Right? If they were real guy invested in their will, anything they were doing, it's not considered a mitzvah. Correct? That's what you said in our mission. Now, where did we get that from? What's the source of that? That's Abishal. If you look back at our mission, if you look back at the end of our mission, what did Abishal say, the last kid of our mission?
Three different scenarios.
Abishal by three different scenarios. But what did he say? He said, Ma chakavas eitzen rishus. What is it just like the Torah's scenario of chopping wood? The Torah is giving us a classic scenario, but it specifically gave this example, so we learned from it. But just like when you're chopping wood, it's a personal thing, it's not an obligation to do. So even every scenario that someone kills by mistake and they have to go to Gauls is a case of a rishus, only if it was a personal thing. Right? They weren't doing a mitzvah. Yatzah, which this goes out, which excludes. That's a three examples: a father hitting his son, a Rebbe hitting his Talmud, the messenger of Bethlehem hitting Malchus. If you do that, there's no Golos. So what was his source? Say, look at the Torah's example. Why the Torah fits? Could give you an example of a guy chopping a tree. Could give you an example of a guy throwing a bull. Could give you a lot of examples of someone killing someone accidentally, right? You can say a guy was going, he's hunting, and he killed a person. Why the Torah specifically tell me a scenario of chopping wood? Because that's a case that, generally speaking, there's never a mitzvah involved. The Torah specifically tells you, just like this case of chopping wood is just a mundane act that you do when you're out of your own will, so too, every scenario where you go to, that a person killed accidentally, they will go to Gaul. It's only when you do something out of your own free will. But if you would do it because it was a mitzvah, you commanded to do it, and then you kill someone accidentally, then you did no cost. That's Abishal Tiq, right? That's the conclusion. Saying why the Torah says such a scenario, just like a simple scenario of a guy chopping wood, because that's a scenario where it's strictly, it's a personal thing, right? That's the Torah.
Well, we said it could be a mitzvah.
Why is that a question?
Lady to keep her warm.
So why is it a question? So that's going to be the wise question. That's the wise question. Right now, we'll ask the Mishnah. That's what Abishal said in the Mishnah. But now this is the wise question.
But I understand, so he's making the statement saying that it's just a random act, it's random.
Now, the wise is going to ask, what do you mean? You could have scenarios where chopping wood is a mitzvah. Right? He's the document fasting since the Torah said a case of chopping wood, which is never a mitzvah. Right? So I deduct from here, if you were doing a mitzvah and killed someone by mistake, there's no cause. But the wise is going to just ask on him, who told you, Abishal, that the Torah is talking about a scenario that's strictly a personal thing? Maybe the Torah's example of chopping wood is referring to a scenario where there is a mitzvah. Like, for example, let's say we're chopping wood for a sukkah. That sounds like a mitzvah. And if so it could be the Torah's case even when you're chopping wood for a mitzvah. So it's not to, the Torah's not going to exclude a case that it's of a mitzvah. Even in the case, maybe it's going to include a case of a mitzvah. Even when you're doing a mitzvah and you're chopping wood, you kill somebody, you're still going to go. Now, Michelle said, since the Torah's case is talking about a case where you're doing a mundane act, it's not a mitzvah. You understand from there, you deduct from there that if you were doing a mitzvah, you don't go to God. Why is it? No, maybe the Torah's case specifically is talking about a mitzvah. And even in such a scenario, you still go to God. What's the mitzvah of chopping a tree? Chopping a tree either for the Bel Mitzvah, or these have a pile of wood of the Mizbeah, it was called the Atzei Ma'aracha. But there was two Ma'arachas, a small and a big one, but that a fire always burning in the Mitzvah Mikdash. So maybe you're chopping wood, but the Mitzvah Mikdash is also a mitzvah. That's the worst question. So maybe the Torah scenario is a mitzvah. Good kasha. So you're not saying you're chopping mitzvah for an old lady to get keep warm. Fine, the Gemara in this case is, you hear the kasha? It's a good kasha. So what's the Gemara going to answer? What's the answer that's not a mitzvah? Chopping wood for a sukkah, the Gemara says, chiddush, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah could be to build, to live in the sukkah. Or even the Gemara in Brachas at Shabbos say that building the sukkah could be the mitzvah. But chopping wood for a sukkah, that's not the mitzvah. That's maybe a preparation for the mitzvah. Or it's a hachada for the mitzvah. But it's not the mitzvah itself. Right? So there's no such scenario ever that chopping wood is the mitzvah itself. Right?
What about Beis Mikdash?
But even if you chop wood for the Beis Mikdash, there also the burning of the wood is the mitzvah. The chopping of the wood is not the mitzvah. What's in Gemara's proof? How do I know the chopping is
the mitzvah? I find the situation where the chopping is actually
the mitzvah. Never. That's the Gemara says, never really chopping.
Fell on a guy and he's dying.
It's
cut it to get around.
Saving
a life. Cutting a tree.
Now,
why you did that,
that
axe flew off. Yeah,
but
you go to
it.
I thought you're spinning a tree and you're popping the
axe. Don't you have an elaborate move?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You go, fine, you can cut.
You could call it a crazy and say, a normal scenario, I was saying, a normal mistake. You could always say, I mean, I'll tell you, what's an Akamina Allah? I say, if you marry a lady, I'll pronounce that. You're looking for like a regular scenario, and Mitzvah, Torah is like referring to a regular. I'm not saying, that's what I said before, I said I was careful. But generally speaking, the case of chopping a tree is not a Mitzvah. So the Torah picked this example to tell you a normal scenario, not in the case of a mitzvah. Meaning, you're right, you always find a certain mitzvah. Every single scenario in the world could end up being a mitzvah. Right? It could be a mitzvah to everything. So saying, generally speaking, the Torah gave this example because the most normal scenario is not a mitzvah to chop a tree. Okay. I worse than to chop for a sukkah. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is building the sukkah. The mitzvah is sitting in the sukkah. Chopping the tree is preparation. It could be you'll get rewarded Shemayim for preparing for a mitzvah. That's not the mitzvah. Now, what's the Gemara's proof? Let's say you already had wood this year. From last year, why does it chop new wood to make a sukkah every year? Have you ever heard of such a mitzvah? You have to make new wood every year to create your sukkah. No. You have to build a sukkah and sit in it. So the word says that's my proof that chopping of the wood isn't the mitzvah. It's a preparation. It leads you into the mitzvah. It helps you do the mitzvah. You can't do the mitzvah without it sometime. But that's not the mitzvah. That's the word is lamdus. Okay, the word's logic. Rabbis are prove to you that that's not the mitzvah. Because if you already have chopped wood, there's no significance that every year, okay, it's Jalur chop wood, the shape.
But the initial time is chopping is a mitzvah to prepare for the first
time. It's a preparation. It's not that there's a mitzvah, there's a chana, there's a hechsher mitzvah.
It's not a mitzvah. The guy goes out and chops down wood.
If you look at the 613 mitzvah, it doesn't say chopping up a sukkah.
It's a preparation to do a mitzvah.
A sukkah is a mitzvah.
Okay, assembling it is the mitzvah of the mitzvah. It's been chopped.
It's a chana. It's a preparation. Come in, Shemayim, of course, you can get reward.
For
sure, you can get reward for it.
But
not what if it's wood
offering? That wasn't the mitzvah of the rest.
It was a commandment, and everyone would have to build their sukkah out of wood.
Huh? If it was a commandment.
Right, now also.
Go out of metal.
No, but it was a mitzvah to cut wood for your sukkah. Everyone had to have wood.
Every year, you have to build, chop down wood. Every single year.
And every sukkah would be wood. You wouldn't have canvas.
You know what? Thank you for coming.
No, the mitzvah is the top, not the sides.
Even for the sack. You have to chop them good, fine. So let's say that you're at.
Okay,
you need kosher wood.
What about the wood offering for the base mikdash?
Also the same thing. If you already have chopped wood, for whatever reason, some guy already chopped wood, you don't have to specifically chop wood because I need wood. If you already have wood.
But if you don't.
Good. So if you, that's what I'm saying. If you don't. If you don't, of course, part of it's a preparation of the mitzvah is I'm going to have to chop the wood to have wood. But the fact that if I already have wood, I don't need to chop wood, that proves to me this isn't part of the mitzvah itself. It's just a preparation for the mitzvah. So there's no classic scenario that chopping wood itself is the mitzvah. That's what I was going to say.
Verstehen.
I read something like when I first get ready for the Shabbos, like back in the day, cutting wood from the fire,
moving
the Shabbos, just to separate basically the tree of life from the other trees. Have you ever heard something like that? Basically, you're making a distinction between basically the mitzvah and the mitzvah. So maybe somebody that is like a high spiritual level would have in mind when they're cutting the tree, they would say, okay, I'm...
It could be your dosha, but it's not the mitzvah of the rice. It means you do a lot of spiritual tikkunim. It's true, you make a lot of spiritual tikkunim. You're separating the good from the bad. You're making a lot of... It's true, of course, you're doing a lot of things. You get rewarded your mind. But that's... It's all preparing. It could be a lot of times say that preparation for the mitzvah can be harder than the mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah.
What about the other example of the father giving a bris to his son and the son dying?
Oh, so that's the word I was going to speak in. The word is going to... Fine. Let's see the Gemara, try to see the Gemara install. So holding now by like 13, 14 lines in the back. Avalei who married Banal Rabbi. One of the rabbis, let's say who, one of them, for some reason we don't mention his name, maybe we didn't ever record it. One of the rabbanim asked Rabbi the following question. They asked Rabbi, I don't understand Abishal. Abishal is telling me the Torah scenario of chopping wood is not a mitzvah. Why not? Why do you say that the Mechatavis eats him through his shoes? The case of the Torah of chopping wood, right? The Torah's case when you kill someone by mistake, you go to Gaul. The chopping wood was a case, it was a personal thing, it was a reshus, you know, Dilma maybe. Mechatavis eitzim was referring to a scenario of chopping wood. The sukkah of a sukkah, umechatavis eitzim, or chopping wood. The marach, that was like the pyre they had in the Samikdash for the wood. Vafilu vachi, that stands for vafilu vachi, it's still in all. Amar Rachman, the Torah says, legally, you do go to those. Why are you deciding the Torah's case is a personal, you're cutting wood for a personal reason? Maybe the Torah scenario is you're cutting wood for a mitzvah, and still you go to Golos. So Aleph Lam means Amar Lei. So Rabbi said back to this rabbi, Kivan, since the Ibn Matzah Chatan, if it was already found, you found chopped wood, skip the parentheses, so Kivan the Ibn Matzah Chatan, La mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah, Hashta Nami. Now also, even though you do need the wood today, you're chopping wood, in today's scenario, lav mitzvah, not a mitzvah. And the fact that if you already have wood, you don't have to chop it, that proves to me it's not part of the mitzvah. So even today when you do need to chop the wood, it's not part of the mitzvah, it's a preparation, it's not the mitzvah itself. That's what this Gemara wants to say. So let's see Rashi Hashtanami. We said, since if you already have wood, it's not a mitzvah, Hashtanami, now also, what does Rashi say? 9 lines to the bottom of Rashi. What did Rashi say? Hashta Nami, now also, Ki loy matza chatuva, if I did not find cut wood, ein ha-chatava mitzvah, the chopping itself is not the mitzvah. Ela asiyas ha-sukkah, only the making of the sukkah is the mitzvah. The making of the sukkah is the mitzvah, not the chopping of the wood. That's what I wanted to say. So So if you don't necessarily need it in every scenario, then there's the logic. If you don't need to do it in every scenario, it means it's not part of the mitzvah. Nahon? If you don't need it to always chop the wood, that means that chopping the wood is not the mitzvah. Even if today I have no wood, I need to chop a tree, not part of the mitzvah, it's preparation for the mitzvah. So we're saying a logic. If I don't need it in every scenario to do the mitzvah, it's not part of the mitzvah. Right, in Mar Akash, I'm going to answer Yaakov's question. Amar Le, he said back to him, so Esei Ravina, Ravina asked to Rabba, so according to your logic, I have a big question on you from our Mishnah. We said in our Mishnah that Yatza were excluding from Gaul. You don't go to Gaul, who? Ha'av, a father, Hamaka Esmina, who hit his child, for Rabba, Rebbe, a Rebbe's Talmud, who hit his talent, Shleach Bested. Lema, let us say, Kiva the Ilu Gomer. If the son, let's say, for example, we're taking the first case just before we get to the present. So the father hit his child. So you don't go to Golos because he was doing a mitzvah. If Kiva, since the Ilu Gomer, if he would be learning the cave, if he would be sitting and steiging, la mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah to hit the child. Hashtadami, now also la mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. Rish Rashi says, la mitzvah, la chesed to hit it. What's the first question? You told me if you don't need it in every scenario, it's not part of the mitzvah. If you don't always need to chop the wood, we don't always make you chop wood, it's not part of the mitzvah. Frankly, why? What do you mean? Let's say you have a child, right? What do we say in our Mishnah? If someone hits a child, they die, they don't go to God's. Why is it? What do you mean? Do you have to hit every child? No. You don't have to hit it, right? So too, even if he's misbehaving, he's not doing his fault, you hit him, it's not a mitzvah. Because that was your whole logic by the sukkah. What was your whole logic, Rabbi? Since if you already have one,
right.
Then it's not a mitzvah. Because since you don't, he's saying if you don't need it in every scenario, it's not a mitzvah. So he says every kid, you don't have to hit every single kid every single day. You don't have to whack them.
Is that true with every mitzvah?
So that's what we're asking. We were saying it could be a general question. You tell me only if you need it today, it's a mitzvah. Wait, if you don't need it in every scenario, so then it's not really a mitzvah. It's just it's a way to get the kid to learn. Like we were saying, chopping the wood is not the put in the mitzvah. That was just the way you get to build your sukkah. It was like Shachet Tivtzah, it was just a way to get you to build your sukkah. So now maybe hitting your child is not the mitzvah. It's just a way to get him on track.
No, but that's why I gave the example of giving a bris. Because giving a bris is a requirement.
Yeah, but we didn't say giving a bris. We weren't talking about giving a bris. We didn't say giving a bris. We said in the case where you were hitting a child, the mitzvah's case wasn't hitting. You were hitting a guy because he wasn't learning. He wasn't doing it. He's supposed to, you needed a few whacks. Took his belt, he had to take his belt out and he gave extra. He didn't realize it was too hard. Instead, he tried to hit the guy with the leather. Instead, he hit the kid with the metal, he killed the kid. My mistake. So now, I'm saying that you told me if you don't need it in every scenario, it's just a preparation for the mitzvah. So I have a crash over when you're hitting the kid. You don't need to hit the kid every day. So today, you have to need to hit the kid, but that's not the mitzvah then. Because that's what you just told me. Nachon here? You told me chopping in the wood for the sukkah is not the mitzvah. What's my proof? You don't need it in every scenario. Okay, hitting a child. You don't always have to hit the child. Maybe he's learning, he could be learning. So, why is the question? Maybe hitting the child is just a way to get him to learn Torah. What's the mitzvah? The learning Torah is the mitzvah. The hitting the child is just a way to get him to learn. So, if so, by hitting the child, also you shouldn't be off the hook. What do we say? Here, but Aaron, what do we say? When you hit the child, there's no galus, because you're doing a mitzvah. Say, no, maybe that's not a mitzvah. Why are you hitting the kid? Because he wasn't learning Torah. So maybe the learning Torah is doing the mitzvah. And the hitting the kid is just the preparation for the mitzvah. So there also you shouldn't be off the hook. That's the question. Hitting the kid is preparing him to learn Torah. If he was learning Torah, you don't need to hit him today. So hitting the kid is just preparing him to learn Torah. So he should be off the hook. What do you say, Chanan? Good question. My answer is no. There's always a mitzvah to hit a child. Even if they are learning.
Tell that to children's services.
Chastise your son. It says, to keep him in trance. The pasuk says, if you chastise someone who's younger, then when you're older, you'll be able to relax and you'll enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, these things haven't applied to this generation, but it means whack him until, even if he's not necessarily doing something wrong today. He needs a little bit, into shape, whack him a little bit, whack him up. Doesn't necessarily have to not be learning, because he's learning, but you want to learn a little better. He's slacking off. So give him a little patch. So there's always
a
little
not a clock.
It's the patch. So you get it, it's always a mitzvah. So that's why we were thinking that it's not a mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah to hit the kid if he's learning. Sorry. Say, what do you mean? So the The mitzvah isn't the hitting, maybe. The hitting is just preparation to get to learn Torah. The answer is no. Even if the kid is learning Torah, if you hit it, it's always a mitzvah to hit it, just to keep him in track. Like when you see the pasuk said, you chastise your son, you whack him at the shame when he's younger, then when you're older, you'll be able to enjoy it. When you get older, instead of him just throwing you to a nursing home, you'll be able to sit, enjoy hearing him learn Torah.
I thought the enjoyment was grandchildren.
Yeah, that also, that's the pasuk says also. When you get older, you'll be able to, well, if you keep him in shape, you'll keep them in shape also. Hopefully. Oh, so let's see the word inside. The word says, no, Haslam, that's not 7 lines in the back. But it's an Haslam over there by training your child. Av al gab, even though the gummer, even though if he's learning, shtar, he's sitting and learning. Mitzvah, it's still a mitzvah to whack him up. You know, he needs a little straightening up a little bit, even still a mitzvah to whack him. Or get a passion. Same like the Pasuk said, Yasser bilchal. You should chastise your child, Yanichecha. And then he will leave you, and then you'll rest. You'll give like ma'adan, it's like you'll give like pleasure, l'nafshecha, to your soul. When you get older, if you make sure to keep him straight, straighten him out when he's younger, you'll feel better when you're older, you'll be able to enjoy him, you'll see him going on the right path. It's always a mitzvah to whack them into shape a little bit. For us, probably to daven these days, because us whacking doesn't really help much. So for us, we are whacking into shape, it's by davening, basically. It's enough. It's enough. If you know kids are going to be worse from hitting him, you're not letting him hit him. Because he's going to hit back, or he's going to answer back, he's going to make the situation worse, you're not letting him hit him. It's just yes, it's in kids' Shulchan Aruch. If it's Shulchan Aruch, brings it down. If by hitting the kid it's going to make the situation worse, there's no mitzvah to hit him. These days, basically.
But you could chastise without physically harming someone.
Uh-huh, you're right. That's also true. Uh-huh, but it's also, basically, these days, the main thing is to feel him.
Not every scenario with that.
Right. I thought the word learning here means like to you to hit him.
There's also if it's better to do it for your children.
It's also good to do. Oh, that's the main
which
thing.
Works.
These days the dive, it helps more than these other things. For us, we kind of do that, and that's just gonna help us. Fine. So again, we wanted to know Abishol told us that our pasuk is talking about when you were doing a mundane act and you end up killing someone mistakenly. But if it was a mitzvah, you don't go to God. So we want to know, how do you know? We say, what do you mean? Maybe chopping wood is a mitzvah. Now he wants to have a better chop. You want to know, how do we know, how does Al-Shaul know the Torah scenario is talking about where you're doing a mitzvah? Correct? Where you were not doing a mitzvah, you're doing a mundane act. So we gave you the whole story, we said there's never ever a scenario where chopping wood is a mitzvah. Now he wants to have a better Torah for you. Hadar Amar Rabbi, Rabbi went back and said, Lav knows it's not something he died, I'm not saying a good pshat, I can say a better pshat. That's what Rashi says. He's like, he's saying even a better pshat, I'm saying. Because look at the psukim. How do I know that the psukim, when it says you go to Golos, it's referring to definitely a scenario where you're doing a mundane act. So read the psukim. I can understand that from the pasuk itself. If you go back to the source, what does it say? Ba'asher yava esre'ehu baya. When your friend came into the forest and he killed mistakenly. What does that mean? It says ba'asher means when your friend went in. There wasn't even one he had went in. It sounds like he happened to go in. The Iboy Ayah. If he wants, he can go into the forest. The Iboy, if he wants, why not? Should he go into the forest? These don't deny that. Maybe he can tell you mitzvah. Mitzvah. Maybe he's talking about Ayah. What's the last question? What do we ask? It's like, if you want, what does the puzzle mean? It says, it's probably sounding like telling the story. One, you happen to be taking your stroll in the forest, and you're chopping wood, and you kill a guy. Since the Torah says, when you were going in, it sounds like, then you have to go in the forest and you kill somebody. Right? Hear about it? The puzzle never said you have to go in the forest. So the puzzle sounds like, it's not referring to a case where you're doing a mitzvah in the forest. You weren't doing it for the mitzvah, so you have to go in. Right? It's about sure when you happen to be going in, then you kill somebody. So that's how we know the Torah scenario is not referring to a mitzvah. So we want to know where did Abishol get it from? Where did Abishol get it from? The Torah scenario is when you do the mundane act. You weren't doing a mitzvah. So it says, you know what? Because it says, Fasher, when you happen to go into the forest and you kill somebody, what does that sound like? What is it you have to go in? It was saying when you went in. So from here we understand that it's not, in the Torah's case, it's not a mitzvah. So if it was a mitzvah, then you would have to. Then you wouldn't go to Golos. But the word Asher, sorry, is there a thing today downstairs? You aware?
A 12, I have to set it up.
What does that mean?
Because it starts at 12 o'clock on my L drive, so I have to open it up and get the lights on. So we get the camera down there.
Fine.
Remote, my minutes, just, I have to leave 10 minutes.
Perfect. I just wanted to know because we don't start 5. We start
so
at
we
five.
Need start.
We start 5 minutes.
We need to end in about 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Please excuse me.
Okay, I'm going to start for the T-boy. Hi.
I'm Michelle.
Happy as well. Fine. So let's see the wire inside. What is the wire saying? The father said, "Asher yaveh Israel bayah." The e by al. If you want, you could enter the forest. The by al. It's you went in on your own accord. So the is like that. If you think it's a mitzvah, me sagging to like al is it enough? You wouldn't go in. If it's the third of the mitzvah, it just said you had to go into the forest. Since the third just says when you were going to the forest, that means if the third is not referring to a mitzvah. But if it was a mitzvah, you would not go to college. Good. So here, as we saw the, our original deduction, we're just understanding Abba Shaul better. So there, how did Abba Shaul understand? Note that the Pasuk was referring to a scenario where you're doing a mundane act, and that's when you go to Galus. Say, because the scenario, if you read the Pasuk, that's what it sounds like. It says, Vasher, you, when you happen to be strolling in the forest, doesn't say you have to be in the forest to chop wood for a sukkah or to chop wood for the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah scenario is specifically a scenario where you're going on your own accord. But we deduct from there, why is the Torah saying this scenario? So we should deduct from there, if you were doing a mitzvah, then you don't go to Galus. If you were doing an act of a mitzvah, you were a guy invested with your guy does, then you don't go to Galus. The Torah specifically says the scenarios would make that deduction. Good?
But it hasn't given an example of that, or has it?
Does the Torah's example is, you want it.
No, because it's only talking about mundane acts, it's not talking about a mitzvah.
So we deducted, the Mishnah gives the example, but we deduct from there. If he was doing a mitzvah, there's no Galus. Now our Mishnah gives us a few examples where hitting a person could be a mitzvah. Most times hitting a person is aver. But you are three examples where hitting a person could be a mitzvah. Fine. So we're just saying, since the Pali says Asher, the word Asher, that means referring to a mundane act. But now, I'm not thinking what I was going to ask. So we're saying from the terminology of the Pasuk, it sounds like you were doing a mundane act. They said, when you were going in, it sounds like it's a mundane act. When it means you want to. Like, when you happen to be doing it, it sounds like if you want, you could do it. If you don't want, you don't. Wherever the words that said Asher, it just means when you did it. That automatically means that you had a choice about the e-boy who, it always means if you wanted to do it. El-Mayata, now I have a question. The Pasuk says, the ish Asher Yitzma below Yisfatla. This Pasuk referred to a scenario where someone became Tami. We know someone who becomes Tami is not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple when they are Tami. Right? Someone who becomes Tami, right? So the halacha is, they cannot, like, why can't we walk into the Makom HaMikdash today? Why can't we take a walk on top of the fence today by where the Kedesh Kedashim was? Why can't we go on a tour? Because we're Tami, and if you go in the wrong spot, then you're Chayav Karas. There are some people who know, say they know where you can go, where you can't go, it's pretty dangerous. But someone who goes there is liable by the penalty of Karas. So it's not so smart to take walks and tours on top of it. I mean, you know, they have these tours over there, like for the Harabais up there, by the fence. So it could be, some people say they know where to go, some groups, some rabbi, they go to rabbi, it could be. But it's not so advisable to go there. Because you go on the wrong spot, since we're all tummy, we're tummy mace, and we can't be purified until we have a part of doing, until we have mitzvah. So therefore, it's not so suggested to take a tour up there. Which I'm sure everybody who ever takes tours up there, but. So the Mayas of the Ishvay, for Allah, it's Chazi, Yibay Mitaim, Yibay Lai Mitaim, but it's fine, maybe we'll just stop and we'll continue. It's not so long, it's a long Mayas continuation.